So let's just first start off, where are you right now? And tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I'm in Arizona and it's a beautiful 85 degrees, probably going to 95 today. So we don't have snow, but I was in Montana last week, so I got my snow fill. And I was a real estate agent for over 10 years. I have an inactive license. I've been in the industry for 17 years. So I know what it's like to be a real estate agent and around the industry. However, we didn't have Facebook back in those days. I got my license in 2001. So I didn't use social media for business. I never would have thought that I would have created a company with somebody that I met on Snapchat. I certainly never thought that I'd be talking to my phone, walking through Target. So it's interesting to see the massive changes that have happened in my personal life, just even in the last 10 years. So you can do it even if you didn't grow up with it.
So, do you remember the first time that you got in front of a camera?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I talk to a lot of people. I get this every single time that I speak, and it's, I'm too afraid to get in front of the camera. I have a boring life. I am a private person. I don't know what to say. Nobody wants to hear about my life or any of those things. I hate how I look on camera. My voice is awful. Heard it all because I said it all, right? And one of the things that I really struggled with was getting on camera and doing it live, and it was terrifying. And I didn't watch myself back for an entire year because I knew that if I did, I wasn't going to stick with it. And I don't recommend that unless you know that you won't do it any other way, because I could have gotten a whole lot better, a lot quicker, if I had actually had if I had had the courage to watch myself back. So yes, I remember it. It was awful. The phone was this way. I couldn't figure it out. I think I was talking, not realizing I was actually live. I have actually fallen down while I'm live, which actually, ended up being a really good live. People loved that. I've done everything you could possibly imagine on live. So you will survive. And worst
Oh
case
my God.
scenario, you can just delete
And actually, right before we got started the live, we did like a little test run, and Chelsea, you had given a great tip of making the camera horizontal, and I didn't know that. I just was like, let's do vertical, but it's super important. So for those listening, if you're doing a live, do it horizontal with somebody, because you'll be able to see that two faces next to each other. It's a lot better on the eyes, right?
Yeah, you get 50-50 screen time, which is nice because you want to see that. Plus, here's the other tip. They don't make it easy, and they don't give you instructions when you're trying to figure out how to do these like dual broadcasts, right? So what you need to do is, if you are going to have someone come on live with you on Facebook, you need to have the orientation of your phone set up that way before, both of you. So you can't be vertical and I can't go horizontal. We have to both be the same direction before we begin. So that was also a moment of terror when I was interviewing someone. I'm like, why isn't this working? And then I realized it's because both of your phones have to be facing the same orientation.
Yeah, actually, we had. So I've been posting as much as I can on the group, asking the realtors of the group and the real estate professionals questions. And we wanted to get to video later on, but I want to give a shout out to one of our members, Cher Allen. She had said that one of her biggest growing pains with video is the editing process and not having enough time to do it. And I think that this is like one of those tips, like one of those video editing tips for real estate agents who are trying to be more face to face. So thank you for that.
Absolutely. Happy to help.
So we're gonna start with personal branding. I want to get your elevator pitch on personal branding. What is personal branding to you, and why is it so important that real estate agents are putting this top of mind?
It's so interesting because I was literally talking about this yesterday, and I was writing an article for a publication, a real estate publication, about it as well, because I think people forget that, when you work for a company, regardless of how large and well-known that company or that brand is, we all have our own personal brand within that company. And especially because we have social media and we're so prevalent, and I deal in a lot of the psychology behind social media and how we're vetting people, how we are in sort of the Amazon Prime world of five-star ratings. 10 years ago, if you didn't have a Facebook page, then I didn't think that was weird. If you don't have a Facebook page today, I think something's wrong with you. And so does the majority of people that are there, because we've established this behavior pattern about trust and having an online presence. So if you at all are online or have social media, which I'm assuming every real estate agent here does, you have a brand whether you like it or not. and what you comment on, what you like, who your friends in common are, those are all credibility factors now. So it's not just reviews. So that's why we have to really be focused on what we're putting out there, and we have to be consistent, consistent, because consistency is going to build your audience and your credibility. The frequency, once you get into that consistent and you can do more frequent, that will accelerate the audience. But the personal branding is key, because if you can't articulate in one sentence, I make people do it in 10 seconds in one sentence, and I'm sure that's because of Snapchat. And if you can't articulate what your benefit is and what you do in one sentence, and my five-year-old can't repeat it back, we have a problem, because you don't know your brand. And that is the hardest part of business. Once you figure that out, everything else is easy, because you either make the decision, yes, this is part of my brand, no, this is not part of my brand. Yes, this is part of my niche, no, you're outside of it, let me get someone else to help you. So it's really, really tough. And I developed mine when I started doing my show. And now it's my one-liner that I do. And you know what? Nobody remembers what your company is, where you work. All they're going to remember is those last few things of whatever you say every day in the unique value proposition.
The videos that you do, they're like no more than 4 minutes long. They're to the point, and they get right to it. I think like that's such, that's the beauty. And people, you know, they want to consume things, but you know, they've got things to do. They've got to go get their Starbucks. They've got to go, you know, pick their kids up, things like that. So I think that it's super important to make it informational, but also valuing your listeners' time. So you talked a little bit about Snapchat. What brought you there? Like, did you just like one day pick up your phone and you were like, I don't know what this is, I'm just gonna put my face on this? Like, how did that start?
Yeah, I was listening to Gary Vee. I was listening to him in the mornings, and you know, I am not a young millennial. I'm just letting you know. I know I play one on TV, but I'm actually almost 40, so I'm not in that demographic that would be picking up Snapchat, and I don't have a son old enough to be on it yet. So I was not at all thinking I would ever use it for business. I was like, this is not in my demo. It's for young kids. I don't know why anybody would want to make content that disappears. It seems silly to me. So Gary, who I really respect, he was talking about how people needed to shift their mindset from, you know, it's not salacious material that people don't want to stick around. It's about being in the moment. Because when you and I are done with this conversation, if we didn't post it to the group, it would no longer exist. And we're different people every single day. And it was really this shift about being in real-ish time. So we wouldn't be having Facebook Live if we didn't have Snapchat. Because that was the first real time thing we had that was like a 24-hour period. And I was like, okay, the other thing is when it disappeared, you had their attention because they were like, oh, I'm not going to see this, you know, again. Now that's changed. So I was like, okay, I get it. I get it now. Let me try to figure it out. I had no idea what I was doing. I was like, where's my feed? Where do I scroll? How do I find people? And like anything else, the best way to go into something is having no idea how to do it, because you don't know how hard it is. You don't know how big you can fail. You don't know how challenging it is. You just go along like my son. He'll figure out a game because he'll just dive right into it. And so that's how I got into Snapchat. And, you know, some weird things I never thought would experience, meeting incredible people, flying across countries and working with people in other countries, in Australia, in Scotland, it was bizarre to me. It's still weird to me that I'm friends with people that I've talked to through my screen.
Personally, I'll say this, like getting in front of a camera, you know, it's not easy. It's a scary thing. And like, but I realize, especially with the future of real estate, like I might be posting on this group all the time, but who is Charlotte? You know, why would people listen to me? You know? So it's a scary step, but I agree with you. I think Snapchat did that one thing where it's like those tiny little bits of content that allow people to trust you little by little. And I'll be real too. I'm a millennial. Okay, I'll say it. I do not use Snapchat. It still freaks me out. Yeah. So what are some tips that you would say for millennials or non-millennials on how to get on Snapchat and start using it to boost their brand?
So let me just preface this, and I think we're gonna see a huge shift, especially when we talk about Facebook in a little bit. Snapchat is hard, and it's really hard because it's human and you can't outsource yourself. I can't turn to Chris and say, hey, can you make a little story about me? And back to my idol, Gary Vee, who I can't wait to meet one day. He's amazing. I don't watch some of his Instagram stories or Snapchats because it's not real. It's this pre-packaged, quotes and that sort of thing. And even though I love him and follow everything he does, it's not my cup of tea because, again, I want real. I want to see into people's lives. I want to have conversations. And that's hard because I can't schedule a post for Snapchat like I can in Facebook. I can't curate someone else's content. So I don't recommend getting into Snapchat unless you really want to go into it. And what it taught me was some really incredible things about communication and talking to people and connecting eye to eye, which psychologically accelerates the trust factor. And it really helped me outside of Snapchat because I understood what was happening there, that it was providing value and being proactive and talking to people. And now I go on Facebook or Instagram and I don't go on there unless I'm commenting, which has really helped build my brand because people, you take an interest in them and they see your name. And I wouldn't have gotten that had I not been on a messaging platform where it was expected. The other thing is it's a safe camera environment because, I mean, you could put a filter on, right? You can't put a filter on here. I mean, I remember the first time I went HD and I was like, oh my God, my face, what happened? It's awful, right? But you can feel a little bit more, safe, I guess, you know, sort of hiding behind the filters until those drop away. And then it's helped me speaking. It's helped, you know, real estate agents who are able to speak on the fly, get to the point 10 seconds at a time. Back in the day when it was 10 seconds, I can get on a stage or I can stand in front of my clients at a listing presentation and be professional and be able to speak and not, you know, so those are other things that benefit you just than growing your brand on a camera first platform.
I don't know if this is you coined this or if you heard this before, but this idea between storytelling and story selling, and like that really resonated with me because I think, like, you know, I could get on this platform and talk about, you know, selling something, or I can get on this platform and tell people, you know, how I feel about, you know, the future of real estate or whatever it is that you're ultimately selling, right?
Exactly. I think one of the hardest things for people to wrap their heads around is, well, when I'm creating content, first of all, content is like this big scary idea because all we're used to seeing is people on YouTube and making videos, and those people seem like they're really good at it, right? And we're worried, like, what am I gonna say? How am I gonna create that? What if I run out of things to say? So content doesn't have to be this big scary thing. It can just be turning on the camera and saying, so I know I have to do this, but I'm not really sure what to do. And eventually you get comfortable enough where you're just, you know, talking. And I'll also tell people, it's like when you buy a white car and you've never seen that car anywhere, and then you're on the road and there's a million white cars after you bought it. It's the same thing with content. Once you get into the mindset of, oh, this would be something great for me to talk about, let me jot it down, let me put it in my notes in my phone. So that part you shouldn't be afraid of. But, you know, the part about the storytelling, that's such a, you know, obtuse word that so many people throw around. It's jargon, right? Storytelling, great, authenticity, okay. But really, when you're just kind of like being yourself, which is hard to get to. So I'm not saying you can jump on any of these platforms and all of a sudden you're yourself and you're feeling like you have to work into it. And the only way to do it is to keep doing it. And then, like me, one day, I just got tired. And I was like, well, I'm not putting my eyebrows on. This is me, because nobody has time for that. So let me just be me. Yeah. And that's when the magic really happens. And so it's important to keep at it, because then you will be more authentic. But when you're talking about your daily life as a real estate agent, oh my gosh, I'm getting ready for my listing presentation, or I'm putting this stuff in here, and you're kind of just showing what you're doing behind the scenes, you don't have to tell people you're a real estate agent. They're gonna get that you're showing houses. And who shows houses? A real estate agent, right? So when you're telling that story, there's no sales objections to overcome. There's no even asking for referrals. They're watching what you're doing. They're seeing that you're passionate about what you're doing. Even if you're going to a class, like, how boring, right? I'm gonna go do a CE credit hour. Well, I could talk about, oh my gosh, I spend 40 hours a year learning how to do something because it's really important for me to understand my craft, right? That's a lot more interesting than just saying, oh, I'm going to CE class, right? So it's how you position it. And again, I don't have to say, do you know anybody looking to buy or sell? Send them my way. They can see what I'm doing, and you never, ever, ever have any sales objections to overcome when you're storytelling.
Do you have any on the top of your head, any real estate agents that you think are doing this really well right now? Like people that maybe you follow on social media or that you're working with? Anyone that you want to shout out?
So many. Oh my gosh. How do I bring them down to just a few? I mean, there's a lot of them watching too. Really incredible people that are passionate and inspiring.
No pressure. You can comment later.
Yeah. No, really, really great. I mean, Sonia Figueroa is amazing. Michelle Belisari, Sue Pinky Nose Naples. Jason Fraser, the real estate CIO. I mean, so many incredible people that are doing it and killing it. And I know that a lot of those people who you look at them and you say, oh my gosh, you're killing it. They didn't start killing it. It could have been two months, 6 months, a year, and then something happens. You know, if you keep at it, it will continue to evolve. And that's really the key is consistency. I mean, you could really have boring content. Let me just put this out there. You can have boring content that nobody watches, but if they're gonna see you scroll in their feed every single day or every single week, they're still seeing you, right? So it's about consistency. It's like those jingles that everybody gets in their head. It's because we've heard it a million times and somebody could ask us, oh, you know that jingle for whatever, and you can sing it, right? So that's what we're talking about is brand awareness and kind of like getting into the brain and really giving our message so that other people remember it when they want to be top of mind and think, who am I going to call for my real estate needs?
So I want to get into one last category with you, and that category is the Facebook changes. There's been a ton going on. You've been talking about the Facebook skies falling and like, what does that mean for real estate agents? You have awesome content, guys. She has amazing content on her Facebook page, Chelsea Peets, already. But I want you to fill us in a little bit on what these changes mean for real estate agents.
Right. Well, in my opinion, I think they are really awesome changes. In a nutshell, a couple of different categories we're changing. We're talking about the social, the organic, the unpaid side. And then we're talking about the paid side, which is ads. So I'm going to cover both of those separately. The organic side, the real, the authentic side, our feeds, our friends and family, what they're doing is they really want people to spend, in their words, higher quality time, which means less articles, less stuff from businesses, more family and friends. And they're really going to be looking at comments. Comments are really important. It used to be shares, used to be kind of the number one. Yeah. Now it's comments. So it's really about conversations and engaging, which is why you need to be intentional. You need to be creating custom lists. You need to be going out and spending 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes at night doing social prospecting. You need to be connected with your sphere, because if you don't have a sphere or a database in real estate, you have nothing. So it's very important that you're thinking about comments, not a like, not a social drive-by of like a thumbs up or a heart. It is a sentence. The longer your comments, the more it's going to rank in there. And you're going to, you know, start showing that feed who you want to connect with. And again, they're going to see you, right? So that's the great consumer experience side. We all want that. Now, the marketing side, where marketers were like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? It was really about the data breach and how much data is getting out and are people using it unethically. And then in real estate specifically, we have to look at, you know, any kind of unethical behavior as far as demographics, etc. So there's some stuff going on there. What they're doing, and we don't know if it's going to be permanent, we don't know what will happen, we've heard it's going to be phasing out over the next couple of months, is they're removing some data categories that specifically real estate agents used a lot for Facebook ads. Income, homeowners, renters, things of that nature. So again, you can't get romantic about your platform. You need to make sure that you're creating content that's original and about you and being personal. I built a brand with no ads. You don't have to use ads. But if you are using ads, you need to make better ads. They need to be more compelling. You have to have a system, a funnel, a lead magnet, a landing page, etc. And you probably need to really think about creating your own audiences and advertising to them by uploading them. Your database list, if you have your website pixeled and you're building an audience and then you build lookalike audiences off of that. And if I've lost people, it's okay. We can go into that later in depth. But it's changing, and that's okay, because everything changes, right? I didn't have an iPhone 10 years ago and I would never have bought one for $600. Now it's like, I'd rather, you know, lose my wallet than my iPhone. So things change and we just figure out a new way to do it.
I think too, like, it really is, there is really becoming this separation between social and media. And like you said that, and I love that. Like we think about social media, but it's really the separation now. Like it's about influencing your sphere. Like I think when people think of marketing, they think, who can I reach out in that world? But it's like, no, like who can you actually connect with in your circle? Right. Like I don't know. I appreciated that idea of like the separation between social and media.
Well,
so
they're half right.
Thank
it
you
is about
for sharing that.
It is about reach, but they're forgetting one word before reach. It's depth versus width, and one word changes it all. I'd rather have 150 people that are like listening to every single thing I say than 15,000 people that, you know, because reach really is your number one non-monetary asset. Reach and influence, period. People get it confused and think, yeah. Oh, I need to be out here for the reach, but I could be really narrow in my reach and, it could change your business.
What do you think are some, so for the realtor, real estate agents that are tuning in, that some content that you think that they should be creating, whether they're asking someone to create it or they're creating it themselves, that they could do right now? Like what are those topics that you think that they should be creating?
Right, I would do topics that are any questions they've ever run across, or any questions they've been asked by clients, things that are confusing, things that they have to continually go over and over and over and they find that, you know, people are confused about. I would also do lots of stuff about whatever area you want to be, you know, the as Gary Vee calls it, the digital mayor, right? You need to be talking about that area because, again, I get to talk about real estate without talking about real estate. I'm at my favorite cafe, my favorite, you know, coffee shop, my favorite wine bar, wherever it is. And I'm talking to the person who works there. And maybe I'm like, hey, what's your like secret recipe that's not on the menu? That's not real estate. But that person's like, oh, my gosh, you're always in whatever area this is. And you become a resource for those kinds of topics. Now, think about it, too. If I moved to a new state or new city, I'd have to get a dentist, an eye person, a hair person, like think of all the things, like I need like an entourage of 22 new people to like even put myself together, right? So think about those things that are really like useful. I don't want to go to Google and be like, oh, let me like search for 12 new dentists. I'd rather just have somebody that I can trust that has three or four that I can go to. So just think about being the resource and just start, period, just start.